ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 4, Chapter 28, entitled Purajana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. Verse number 25. Vikrishyamana prasabham Yavanena baliyasa Navindattamasa vishtha सखायां सुहृदं पुरा विगृह्यमान प्रसभम् यवनेन बलीयसा नाविन्दत्तमसाविष्ठ सखायां सुहृदं पुरा विगृह्यमान प्रसभम् यवनेन बलीयसा नाविन्दत्तमसा विष्ट सखायं सुहृदं पुरः विकृष्यमानः बीइंग ड्रैग्ड प्रसभं फोर्सिबली यवनेन बाय द यवन Baliyasa, who was very powerful, na avindat, could not remember. Tamasa, by darkness of ignorance, avishtaha, being covered, sakhayam, his friend, suhadam, always a well-wisher, puraha, from the very beginning. Translation: when King Puranjana was being dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana, out of his gross ignorance, he still could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the Super Soul. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Lord Krishna says, Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam jnatva mam shantim prichati. A person can be in full Krishna consciousness and become happy and satisfied if he knows but three things, namely that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the enjoyer of all benefits, that he is the proprietor of everything, and that he is the supreme friend of all living entities. I repeat. Three things are mentioned here. A person can be in full Krishna consciousness and become happy and satisfied if he knows but three things, namely that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the enjoyer of all benefits, that he is the proprietor of everything, and that he is the supreme friend of all living entities. If one does not know this and functions instead under the bodily conception, he is always harassed by the tribulations offered by material nature. In actuality, the Supreme Lord is sitting by the side of everyone. Ishara sarva bhutanam hridayeshe arjuna tishtati, Bhagavad Gita 18.61. The living entity and the super soul are sitting side by side in the same tree, but despite being harassed by the laws of material nature, the foolish living entity does not turn towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead for protection. However, he thinks that he is able to protect himself from the stringent laws of material nature. This is, however, not possible. It's not possible. The living entity must turn toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto Him. Only then will he be saved from the onslaught of the powerful Yavana or Yamaraj. The word Sakhayam, friend, is very significant in this verse because God is eternally present beside the living entity. The Supreme Lord is also described as Hrudam, ever-well-wisher. The Supreme Lord is always a well-wisher, just like a father or mother. Despite all the offenses of a son, the father and mother are always the son's well-wisher. Similarly, despite all our offenses and defiance of the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord will give us immediate relief from all the hardships offered by material nature if we simply surrender unto Him, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mam evaye prabhatyante maya metam tarantite. Unfortunately, due to our bad association and great attachment for sense gratification, we do not remember our best friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaragunadhanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakarpa Sarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhudir Mahadhir Yaima Puro Vibhu, Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha, Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka, Soran Krishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Here we are kind of coming to an end to this pastime of Puranjana, and this pastime is allegorical. This story fits in to the pastime of King Prachina Bahushit. Prachina Bahushit was trying to enjoy the world in this lifetime and for the future lifetimes, because he was a Vedic king, so he knew about the future lifetimes, he knew about our eternal existence, so he wanted to enjoy currently and for the future. He was performing all different kinds of so-called religious sacrifices which involved animal slaughter. So because animal slaughter was involved, he is awaiting punishments for that. However, the underlying principle is he wanted to enjoy this world. In fact, whether it is the Vedic times as mentioned about King Prachina Bahushit or the current times, the mentality or the psychology of a criminal of this material world is to control and to enjoy. It is true for the past, and it is true for the present, and it will be true for the future. We want to control and to enjoy. We can see in the story of Prajna Maharshi, he was trying to do it in a more pious, religious way. Currently, that is done without any particular rules or regulations. So, if you move around in this world, the whole world is about enjoyment. You must enjoy life. And whichever way one can, that is the whole, that is the bottom line. If you are enjoying, you are good. You are doing the right thing. So that is the mentality, and that is a criminal mentality, because we are in the prison house of illusory energy. And here we think we are the enjoyer. And to enjoy, we need to control. So we move about, and in that controlling and enjoying, we are very proud. So that is the nature. And there are so many objects of enjoyment, and there are so many advertisements. When Srila Prabhupada first started seeing advertisements in the television, Prabhupada was very amused, and he was mentioning, this is how the materialism is personifying in these ads. Because, you know, now you enjoy. Here is a product, you must enjoy it. So this is exactly opposite to the spiritual existence, and especially from the viewpoint of a pure devotee who has no trace to enjoy in this world. Material enjoyment is out of his question, and when he sees this kind of advertisement, he sees it is drastically, diametrically opposite to the pure consciousness. One is being dragged to material enjoyment. So there are so many things to enjoy. Everything is for enjoyment. And it's not just the objects, and there's a whole service industry. Okay, everything is at your disposal. We are ready to serve you. Of course, you had to pay money for that. But, you know, everything is for you. And if you go to a restaurant, we value customer service. If you go to the shopping complex, we value customer service. Anywhere, a hotel, accommodation, we value customer service. So everything is at our disposal. We had to, there is a price tag to it, but that's what we are looking for. We like to be served. And so we have this material energy, the material world. That is Ichha. Ichha, the desire for sense gratification, for enjoyment. Ichha dvesha samudhena dvanta mohena bharata. So this is the mentality. Ichha dvesha. First is Ichha, to desire, to enjoy. And here we are. We have this world. And be happy as much as we can. I heard from His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj in one of his lectures. He was asked to attend a wedding. And naturally, if you go to the wedding, and if you are a guru, if you are a senior devotee, you had to give blessings. So Devamrita Maharaj said, he consulted His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu. What kind of blessing can I give to this couple? Devotees. And they're getting married. So it's a wedding. So Bhurijan Prabhu told, please try to enjoy in this world where there is no enjoyment. You can try to enjoy as much as you can in this world where there is no enjoyment. So you can, Maharaj, you can give this blessing. So Maharaj quoted this one, and he gave this blessings to this devotees. I think it's a South American couple. So he gave this blessing. So Maharaj said it was a tough blessings, but he said it's approved by a senior grihastha, a senior devotee, is a guru, is very advanced. That is a blessing. Try to enjoy in this world as much as you can where there is no enjoyment. So it is a very difficult proposition for us, for even to consider that this world is not for our enjoyment, and the sad reality that we cannot enjoy here. Of course, there is an illusory feeling of enjoyment, but we cannot really enjoy. And think about ourselves, that how deeply this fact is embedded in our consciousness, in our mind, that everything around us is for our enjoyment. At least we should try. We accept, we cannot get everything, but we should try. And we should get at least something, a share. And it is very deeply rooted in our consciousness. That's why we are in this material world. That's why Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Ichha, Dvesha, Samudhena, Ichha, to enjoy. Why we are in the material world? What's the reason for being in the material world? Srila Prabhupada often quotes the same verse, Ichha, Dvesha, Samudhena, Dvanta, Mohena, Bharata. Many people, means many so-called saintly people, Mayavadi scholars, Mayavadi sannyasis, they often say, the reason why we are in the material world, it is unknown. It's unknown. And the scriptures do not talk about it. That is a general answer that is given. We don't know why are we in this material world. But Prabhupada very clearly answers this question, quoting Bhagavad Gita, Ichha Dvesha Samudhena, he explains. This is our problem. Ichha, desire to enjoy and being envious of Krishna. And that we can see in this world. And if we don't get our enjoyment, what do? We start blaming someone. It is because of these circumstances, it is because of that kind of incidents, that kind of events, or someone or something. We want to find fault why we can't enjoy. We want to attribute that to someone or something. Yes? So this is the material experience. We want to have that blame given to someone. But who is the reason for our suffering? Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter says, our enjoyment and suffering are caused by? Yes, but who is the reason for that? Us, the living entity, us. Yes, it is because of our desires. But who is the reason? Who is the culprit?
Yourself.
Us. Oh, okay. Exactly. That's why we are here. So here is an interesting point. We don't usually blame Krishna. We usually blame, even if we consider, not necessarily devotees, if we consider people in general, we want to find someone or something to blame for. Only a maybe kind of piety is there, then only they will blame God. Many people don't even blame God. It doesn't go up till there. But if in some kind of piety, if some acceptance of God is there, then people do blame God. If they don't accept God, then what's the reason of blaming God? If we had to blame Krishna, means at least we know about Krishna and we accept Krishna is there. Otherwise, why do we blame Krishna? So it's a gradation of piety. Gradation of piety or acceptance of God consciousness. To that degree, one may blame someone. Maybe starting from God or the living entities or circumstances or oneself, depending on where we are standing in our consciousness. So this is material existence.
In-laws and father-in-laws.
Okay, in-laws. So that's a common term, especially in India, probably. Those in-law blames are a big thing. So yes, that is material existence. Now, here we have the example of the allegorical stories of King Puranjana. Puranjana is a prototype living entity, right? Doesn't exist. Puranjana doesn't exist as such. But Puranjana means one who lives in the city of Nine Gates. It's a prototype living entity who is given all different opportunities. So this body, it's not just one body. How many millions of bodies are there? 8.4. So 8.4 millions of bodies. And there we can try to enjoy in so many different ways. What do you want to eat? Now people are eating everything, even the abominable things, and resulting in disastrous diseases. But there are certain bodies to eat certain things, right? We want to eat a frog. What is the best body to eat a frog?
Snake.
A snake's body. If you want to eat a snake, what's the best body? Okay. So for everything, there are certain bodies to enjoy. So the nature is providing all the varieties. Okay, you want to eat a rat? Okay, here is the body for you. Cat's body. You want to eat a cat? Okay, here is a body for you. You want to eat a pig? Here is a body for you. So to eat anything, to taste any flavor, there is a particular body in which you can taste that flavor. And in all different varieties. So we want to enjoy means we are talking about flavors, and all different kinds of flavors are available in this world, and there are different bodies, and even in bodies there are different tastes. Right? Oh, I want to eat only paratha. I want to eat only idli and sambar. Or even if I would eat both. Or if I want to eat flesh, even in human body. So what we want, so all different kinds of conditionings are given, different tastes are provided. So there is that intimate connection between the senses and the sense objects. So there is the tongue, how it is conditioned, and the food items that are being provided, there is a very intimate connection according to the condition. So that is this world. And we try to do all different kinds of things. Still, there is no happiness, there is no enjoyment as such. It's very temporary, as we all know. And the same propensity comes to us even if we are devotees. Are we exempt from this? Because we are devotees. So no more material desires, no more enjoyment propensity. No, it doesn't happen. Because we are also carrying our conditionings with us. So even as devotees, it's a great deal how to curb our enjoying propensities. It's not easy. I want to try different things. Now I'm a senior devotee. Right? The pride associated with that. I'm chanting for 5 years. I'm a senior devotee. You know, in fact, I was hearing from the old times. People were claiming who is senior based on days and months. Because he was considered a senior devotee because he joined the Krishna consciousness movements just 2 months before me. Sorry, 1 day before me. That is extreme, you know. So this is, you know, the attribute to seniority based on which yagya did he get initiated? I got initiated last year. You got initiated only this year. So I am senior. I am a brahmana. I have more rights because I'm a brahmana. You name it, I'm a leader, so everyone should follow. These are all external, and this can all cause pride, and in that pride we are simply trying to enjoy. So this is more gross. It's subtle, but it's also gross. Even if you go deeper, even in services we want to enjoy. What reward we get out of a service, how much we get noticed in a service, it's a problem for a devotee. If you want to make progress, these kind of things are impediments for a devotee. So are we really trying to serve Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, or are we looking for our share? So this gets very difficult. Even when we are engaging in service, what are our real intentions in service? And Krishna doesn't like to see this kind of tendencies in his devotees, and especially pride. He can tolerate anything. Yeah, but Krishna never tolerate pride. So that's why there is always a pride before a fall for devotees. So this is very important, you know. I remember one devotee. He wanted to be a bit free. Okay? Freedom from association. He wanted a bit of a freedom from association because it's getting too much. Association of the devotees. Oh, I don't want to be with the devotees. I want to enjoy a little bit. I want to take a break. Not a very long break, very short break. So he was a photographer. And he got an assignment in a ship going around in Caribbean islands. Pretty good deal, right? I know this devotee. And he can go in the cruise ship. And there are a lot of passengers. And he has to just take photos. And he can go from one island to the next island. He can go through different beaches. There are so many scenic places. So he was very excited. He said, you know, just I don't want to be with the devotees for some time. I want a break. So let's see what happens. So he went on this cruise ship. And he had his camera, expensive camera, and he was ready to take a lot of photographs. Then, as he landed in his cruise ship, he realized that the people in the cruise ship, the demography was everyone above 70. 70s and 80s. And his job was going around and he has to take their photographs all the time. So they're standing in the cruise ship, different scenic places come, everyone wants their photos, individual, collective, hard work. So many photos in a cruise ship means you can imagine so many people are there. And he has to take all his photos. Then if you go to a beach, he had to take their photos. So the whole day, every time is filled with photos. And he is always in the association of these people who are simply trying to enjoy. They always have a fake smile and taking all these photographs. And he was feeling, you know, after one day passed, 2 days passed, okay, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he was started feeling a bit miserable because only this association and seeing only these faces, nothing else. Was there any prasadam? There was no prasadam here, you know, the abundance of prasadam here, and there was no prasadam. He has to, of course, he was vegetarian, so he was managing to eat this and that. Somehow they're getting by. And at one point he started praying to Krishna, please give me some association of devotees. I have gone through my freedom trip, but please give me some association of devotees. And as he was praying and he was walking on a beach, frustrated, he saw on the wall written Hare Krishna. So that was a Hari Bol moment for him, you know. Hari Bol, I finally found something connected to Krishna. He didn't even have a book with him. And then one boy, he was not a devotee, boy came to this devotee and gave him a copy of a small Prabhupada's book. I can't remember which book, he gave a small book. Then he understood, okay, after all Krishna is there. Even though I wanted to go away from Krishna, Krishna is somehow or other giving some association, holy name, book, etc. So this is Krishna's mercy. Even though the living entities want to go away from the Lord is giving opportunity. Somehow or other, okay, come, associate with the devotees. Similar story, interesting. This I heard from Bhakta Prabhu, an interesting story in America. It's a devotee story. He wanted to go on a bike trip. So it's a motorbike, you know, very powerful engine. So he decided, okay, I'll just enjoy a big trip. So he started his journey. He went on. So he was middle of nowhere, kind of middle of a desert, where there is nobody is there. Suddenly, some gangsters turned up. Not very easy. They stopped him, took him off the bike, took his bike, they stripped him, so he had no cloth, and sent him out there, and they all left. He's middle of nowhere, no cars, no travelers, and in a desert, it's actually a deserted area, and he had nothing. Sounds easy? Mm-hmm. Not at all. He had nothing. And he was walking around and he was thinking, what can I do? Initially he was praying to Krishna. After some time, he lost hope and he decided, there is no Krishna, there is no God. No, I don't believe in anything. I am going to die here. Everything is done. Life is done. Time passed, you know. Think about the situation. No clothes. No one, no cars, nothing. So he was in this mood, went on for some time, nothing happened. Hours are passing, nobody is coming. And at one point, he was with whatever faith he had, he was praying, you know, please do something. Suddenly, one van came. So he, you know, now there is no shame. It's a quest for his life. So he went, you know, please stop. It was a Sankirtan van. Van had a lot of devotees and a lot of books. And they said, Hari Prabhu, then he understood, they cannot understand who is he. He said, Hari Bol. The devotee said, Hari Bol, okay, please come in, here is some clothes. So devotees, you know, even we may lose our faith, we may wander in this world, but Krishna is pulling us. Krishna is pulling us. Somehow they come to me. So, like Puranjana, we are trying to enjoy in this world in so many different ways. In this lifetime, in the previous lifetime, the future lifetime, we are paving our path to future lives. And Krishna is telling you, come to me. That is the transformation that we need. Being the enjoyer, to give enjoyment to Krishna. The whole Krishna consciousness is about that. This simple principle. For us being the enjoyer, giving pleasure to Krishna. That change of consciousness, that is the essential principle that we are trying to achieve through our sadhana bhakti, through our regulated devotional practice. We may not feel like, but we are just trying to give pleasure to Krishna through our activities, through our chanting, through our service, through our preaching, simply trying to give some pleasure to Krishna. So we are correcting our mentality, our psychology, from self-centric to Krishna-centric. So we are just trying to make an adjustment. In the pastime of the Pingala, the prostitute, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Pingala had this moment. You might have heard about Pingala. She was enjoying life and she was earning her livelihood by being a prostitute. And that was her life. And one day she was waiting and no one was turning up. She got no customers. And that time there was a transformation to her consciousness. And that's where that is known as Pingala Gita, the song sung by Pingala in her transformation, in her realization. So in that she started thinking, what am I doing? And here also there is a mention about the super soul who is situated very near to us. So in the Pingala Gita, Pingala started singing, Santam Samipe Ramanam Rati Pratam. The Supreme Lord, he is very dear to everyone. He is very attractive. And he is situated very, very close to me. Santam Samipe. Samipe means in proximity. He is situated very close to me. Santam Samipe Ramanam Rati Pratam. But what we are doing? Vitta Pratam Nityam Imam Vihaya. But the Lord can give everything, but we are just giving up the Supreme Lord. Then what do we do? Akamada Dukha Bhayadi Shokam. We accept something is never going to fulfill our desires, as I told the word. We cannot enjoy. So akamada, we cannot really, this material world cannot fulfill our desires completely. Then Sarva Bhayadi Shokam. It inflicts upon us all kinds of fear and misery. Moha Pratham, and it is just illusory. Tucham, it's so insignificant. Aham Bhajegya. I just took shelter of this material world which cannot really fulfill my desires. It is inflicting upon me so much of fear and misery. So she had this realization. The Lord is very close to us, but I am neglecting that Lord and taking shelter of the material energy which cannot fulfill my desires. And it is giving me so much of misery and fear. So that's what the point of transformation. This happened because she happened to serve a Brahmana, a devotee, who happened to be the Supreme Lord, that is Dattatreya, Sri Datta. So she did that accidentally. He came to her place, and because of his association, Pingala had this transformation. So when she had this down point in her life, she started reflecting on the Supreme Lord who is all attractive. And she became a devotee. So all of a sudden she had a transformation. So that is the importance of association with the devotees. It can cause transformation to our hearts. So it is mentioned in this purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse as the peace formula. What's the peace formula? भोक्तारां यत् तपसां सर्वलोकमहेश्वरं सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वां शान्तिं इच्छति. So this is the peace formula that Srila Prabhupada makes. If you want peace and happiness, three things to be known. Who is the enjoyer? Krishna is the enjoyer. And he who is the proprietor? He is the proprietor. And then he is the friend of all living entities, Suhurda. He is the real Suhurda. He is the real friend of all living entities. And when you forget that fact, then we are in this world of suffering. And we do experience. If you feel stress, if you feel anxiety, if you feel miserable, we can see. When you take it to chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, being in the association of the devotees, we can find a difference. Simple as that. And of course, as devotees, we need to curb this enjoying propensity. Through service, even in service, we need to be very conscious. Otherwise, this propensity can come to the forefront. And that will not award us the real benefit of service. We may get some benefit, but not the full benefit. If we want to enjoy ourselves rather than giving pleasure to Krishna. So this is our prayer, and that's why we need the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Why? Because we are struggling with this propensity, subtly and grossly. And who is Srimati Radharani? You reverse this propensity, that we want to enjoy, you change that propensity to, only I want to give pleasure to Krishna, and you maximize it, epitomize it. And that is Srimati Radharani. So her existence is only to give pleasure to Krishna. As the residents of Vrindavan considers, whatever is Krishna's pleasure, that is their pleasure. What is giving pain to Krishna, that is their pain. So if it is their pain to give pleasure to Krishna, then that is considered their pleasure. Can you see? If something is giving pleasure to Krishna, and that is, in one sense, if it is giving pain to them, that pain is their pleasure. So this is the Vrindavan consciousness. And that mercy is coming from Srimati Radharani. And she is very compassionate to living entities. So we are waiting for that mercy, and we have to endeavor for that mercy. We need to endeavor to grab the attention. Especially when you go to Holy Dham, especially we feel it. I have been recently to the Holy Dham in Vrindavan. You feel it, Vrindavan, Mayapur, you really feel the presence of mercy, special mercy. That's a great fortune. To be a recipient of mercy in many ways in Vrindavan, in Mayapur. It's amazing. Just being in the front of the deities in Vrindavan, you feel it. Just being in the Dham, you feel it. Same in Mayapur. You feel it. You go in front of Panchatattva. What a darshan. Like the mind will be captured completely. That's actually the purpose of worshipping the deities. Our mind has to be captured by the beautiful forms of the deities. So that the glare of material existence vanishes. It's very important for us. So it's very, very special being the Dham, being in front of the deity, so that our consciousness, okay, we have something which is very attractive. We can experience the higher taste. Then the enjoying propensities can be reduced. And it's very significant. So I stop here and see, is there any question or any comment or anything? Yes, ma'am.
Prabhupada, it seems like some cases the devotees or the they get mercy like anything, you know, like large showers of mercy, and very easily they get mercy. And some people don't get the mercy, you know, but how much they are here for many years and they're trying so much. And what is the mercy?
For devotees, Krishna is giving mercy all the time. Otherwise, we cannot continue as devotees in this Kali Yuga. Not possible. Without mercy, we cannot even follow four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. Needs actually mercy of Krishna, which is primarily coming through the spiritual master and other devotees. So it's not possible without mercy. So that is there. At the same time, when we practice our Krishna consciousness, generally in the beginning times, when you are just entering into Krishna consciousness, one may feel one has been awarded a lot of mercy. And as we progress in devotional service, as the years are passing by, we need to endeavor, we need to put more effort to get mercy. So that is there. That is one aspect of it. Another aspect is, we may have some spiritual credits from our previous lives. We may have made some bhakti unmukhi sukriti, some agyata sukriti in our previous lives. That is like the initial momentum. You give it a push. So even in our Krishna consciousness, that momentum is pushing us. That can take us to some distance. But there is a limit to it. Then the question comes, are we doing it now? So to go further, one can always hit a brick wall. So the momentum that was pushing us from our previous lives and the initial mercy that is taking us so far, after that we need to work hard in pleasing Krishna to get Krishna's mercy. So these dynamics are there in Krishna consciousness. So we need to work hard in Krishna service. So then, of course, Krishna always gives mercy. Krishna is merciful. So we may feel that Krishna is not being merciful. We may feel like that. That is only our condition. But it is there. Any other point?
Yeah. Like we cook, you know, in Vrindavan we cook. We are serving. We eat 30 at the time.
Yeah.
That's all you get mercy.
Yeah. Steady service.
Steady service.
Then Krishna notices. So steady service means it has hard work.
No interruption.
Yeah. It's not easy, but that's what's required.
We have no time to be changing.
Yeah, that devotee, he was chanting all the time. He passed away, whom you are referring to. Yeah, he passed away. He was chanting all the time. Forgot his name. Yeah. He's a Bengali devotee. Settled in Vrindavan, Prabhu's disciple. And he was year after year, decade after decade, he was serving. All the preparation, he was just continuously serving. And all the time he was chanting. All the time. So he didn't have time for separate chanting. One time some devotees complained to Prabhupada. Oh, this devotee is not chanting, he's not chanting his japa. Prabhupada said, what is he doing? All the time serving. And while serving, what is he doing? So he's always singing and chanting all the time. Prabhupada said, then it's okay. So Prabhupada understood that he's on a different platform. He's always thinking about Krishna, he's always chanting his glory. Then he said, it's okay. But for us, at least chant 16 rounds properly.
Similarly, Anjali Prabhu.
Yes.
He had 111,000.
Yeah, a few thousands of Salagram Shindasi he had. Vipu Chaitanya Prabhu, that's right, Vipu Chaitanya Prabhu. Yes, Chaitanya Prabhu, you had a question.
Krishna is even merciful to other many individuals, to hands and
people.
Yes.
That's right. Yes, Krishna, the question is, the comment, mostly it's a comment, right? That Krishna is giving mercy to other living entities like ants or mosquitoes. Yeah, different kinds of mercy is awarding. For them, it's a mercy to sustain. And normal people, they consider mercy if they can enjoy in the material world. And for devotees, we see mercy if we are making progress in devotional service, if we are able to do service nicely, etc. Then we consider, oh, Krishna is being merciful. So there are different kinds of mercy. So for devotees, what we feel, oh, I am not making progress, so Krishna is not being merciful to me. That's the kind of mentality that we may have. But the reality is Krishna is being merciful. Maybe he is teaching us something. But because of Krishna's mercy, we are able to continue, not on a material level, even our spiritual activities. That is Krishna's mercy. One time, a group of brahmacharis approached Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. They have practiced brahmacharya for quite some time, maybe 12 or 15 years, steady. And they told Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, Maharaj was sitting in his room, and his devotees, they just slowly entered the room And with humility they told, we had to tell something to you, Guru Maharaj. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, yes, okay, you can tell. Said, we have a concern that we've been practicing for so many years, but we feel that we are not making any progress. We really feel that we haven't made any progress in bhakti, even though we have been sincerely trying and for a decade or so. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj only told one thing, don't worry, just continue. Just continue. That's what he told. And indeed, they became great devotees. They never left the Maharaj's mission or never left Krishna consciousness. They became advanced, but the message was just continue. Utsaham nischayam dhairya. Enthusiasm, determination and patience. That's very essential in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
There are a few more things that are never going to be mine. So, you want to tell us what you wrote in the Dham,
brief
highlights of it.
Highlights of Dham. Dham is always special. So, this time I went to Jaipur as well. Jaipur, as you may know, there is the deities of, especially three deities we can speak about on the way to Jaipur also. Three deities we can talk. One is Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govindji and Radha Gopinathji. So Krishna, when he departed from this world, Krishna's son of his grandson, great grandson, Vajranabha made deities in Mathura. Yes. So first he made the deity of Radha Madan Mohan. So when he made the deities of Radha Madan Mohan, he showed to Uttara, and saying, okay, is he really looking like Krishna? Uttara looked and told, his feet is looking like Krishna. Exactly how Krishna's feet is exactly is there. So similarly, Radha Madan Mohan's deity's feet is exactly like Krishna's. Then Vajranabha was not satisfied, so he made another deity, and that is Radha Gopinath. So Radha Gopinath. So when he made the Radha Gopinath deity, when Uttara saw, said the chest Vakshata, so the chest is looking like exactly like Krishna. Vajranabha was not satisfied. So he made another deity. So that deity is Radha Govindji. So when he saw Govindadev, Uttara, he just like the woman would cover with a veil, they cover the face and the head, purple the head. In the same way, the Uttara covered and says, this is Krishna straight. The face is exactly looking like Krishna. So that is a speciality of three deities. So they were in Vrindavan, but because of the Muslim attack, they were taken to Jaipur. So you can take darshan of Govindji and Gopinath deities in Jaipur and Radha Madan Mohan in Karoli. So it was a very wonderful experience seeing the devotion of the devotees, and Mangalarati in Govindji is very special. If you have been, you know, thousands of people, you know, it's just 4 o'clock, 4:30. In the morning, so many thousands of people and everyone is singing. There's a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra going on. The whole area is spiritually surcharged. And I had a very wonderful time at Radha Gopinath temple also. It was not very, there are not so many people, and so wonderful being in the Mangalarati and just standing, just chanting in front of them. Amazing deities. Similarly, when Madan Mohan ji also in Karoli, amazing deities. So just being there was very purifying, a very purifying experience. Then Vrindavan, what can I speak about Krishna Balaram temple? Radha Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram Govinda. It's like just sitting there and chanting is the best. Morning, you know, attend Mangalarati and sit there and chant. Amazing. And Prabhupada's room. Amazing experience. And in Mayapur also it was nice. The day I landed, evening. I got there evening, 6 o'clock or so. I spoke to Radha Vallabha Prabhu. So he asked me, okay, tomorrow morning, do you want to come to the altar? I said, yeah, like, for sure. So went there and we were polishing Lord Nityananda of Panchatattva. That is an amazing experience, polishing them with Ganga mud. And I have done it before, so that is a very amazing experience, polishing them and you know, drying them. It's like bathing. We bathe Gaur Nithai. So I was thinking, this is one of the services I was doing for so many years, bathing Gaur Nithai. After, you know, the straight after getting Brahmin initiation. So many years I was bathing Gaur Nithai. I was thinking, the Lord is merciful when I go there, also I'm getting that opportunity to bathe them. So it was quite very special to bathe them and being with them. And cleaning all of their shoes, that was what I considered as a very special seva, to clean the shoes of all Panchatattva. And we remember Lord Nityananda's paduka, the shoes came here, the yatras. I was seeing that, you know, very well ornated shoes of Lord Nityananda. Very special, very nice. And I went to my hometown state, Kerala. There also it was very good. I could speak three places about Lord Nityananda. So that was also very special. three places they were celebrating Nityananda Trayodashi.
Yes.
So I could glorify Lord Nityananda three places. That was very enlivening. Because the more we speak about, the more we prepare, the more we think, we get more connected. So that was a very wonderful experience as well. I was thinking, maybe before going, I was thinking I'll go to the dham in my hometown and other places I'll be free. You know, I'll be just doing maybe reading Shastra or something like that, or dealing with the family. I was thinking in that way. But I was quite engaged there also. So Krishna was quite merciful, that I can say. Kept me out of Maya. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
2 minutes.
Okay, 2 minutes.
I'll tell you, I happened to go to Vrindavan 2 years back, in 2009. So one of his friends, he invited me to his house because he was in a new house.
Mm.
So he said, can you please come for dinner tomorrow? And so he told me the story. You can see Krishna walking in Vrindavan days. It's amazing. Krishna is walking in the overnight, meeting friends and devotees. And he said, Krishna is so close to us, but we can't see because of our eyes are not divine. So, I went there, he told me true story. When he purchased the house, next day he was going to build our temple. And as soon as he got down from the house, the lights went off completely dark. In India it happens many times. Power weapon, power. So he didn't know the way how to go to the temple. So you are in a dilemma whether to go to the temple or go back and stay and take care. Suddenly he heard a voice, Baba, where do you want to go? Oh, I want to go to Iskcon temple. I'll guide you. Come behind me. So he went. As soon as light came, he went off. But he was so close to
them. Right.
So Lord Krishna is taking you to temple when you want to go to them. Because he has a very strong desire. Sri Radha Transunder.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Rashi Bhagavatam Kirtai Gaura Premanande.